This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the answer's staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I have to thank you, first and foremost, for taking the little bit of time out of your day to come chill with me, listen to what it is I have to ramble on about. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. I had to start out this week with that one. I swear to God, I'm going to get ahead of this at some point, but last week, July 18th, was the 22nd anniversary of that album, Who Is Jill Scott, which I think was her major label debut. No, I say major label, because I know about like some underground joint that she dropped before that or something. I just don't want like the R&B police coming after me. Like, nah, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Whatever, you know, I'm probably wrong, but fuck it though. Anyway. I picked that particular track from that album, partly because like it hit extra hard in the DMV. I really do like wonder sometimes like how the rest of the world, you know, how they felt about that joint. Like I know it took over where I'm from. I don't know if it had the same impact on everybody else, but that was the one. But now I picked that one because it's like a special memory in my life that's like tied to that song. That's a crazy story, which I'll share with you now. So I got to give all the backstory and stuff. So I have a real like complex history with barbers, right? Like it's very much like my romantic relationships. Like my relationships with barbers just don't seem to last. You know, I always think, you know, I found that forever thing, something with a barber, and then like just shit goes left at some point. Like they switch careers, they lead a state. Like I don't know what it is, if it's me, if it's them, I don't know, but I just can't seem to keep a barber. So anyway, when that song came out, I remember I was at this shop in Maryland. I was what, like 18 at the time? Yeah, I was like 18 when this dropped. So I'm going to a barber shop in Maryland, and I had just kind of made that transition from being one of the dudes that's got to come in there and be like, you know, how many you got? How many you got? How many you got? Like trying to find a person that can fit you in so you can get a cut. I just made the transition from being that dude to like having a barber in that shop that was like my barber. And I think it's basically because I tipped. So that's where I learned like the importance of tipping, and that tipping is important. So, you know, I started tipping this one particular dude, and you know, it got to the point where I seen him like kick people out the chair when I came in. You know, and I'm guessing that's because I tipped, because I was like 18. He had to be like maybe mid 20s or something. Like, we wasn't that cool. We didn't hang out on the weekends or nothing like that. Just when I came in, you know, he gave me a cut. I wasn't very talkative at that time either, so it's not like we was bonding in the chair. But when I came in, like, he made sure I got taken care of and got back out of there. So that was my guy. I think his name was James or something like that. So this particular day, you know, I'm in the chair, I'm getting my hair cut, and in the chair next to me is this little kid. Had to have been like six or seven years old, little boy. And he's getting his hair cut, and he's not having it. Like, he's not enjoying the moment at all. Like, he's very much like how I was at that age. I don't know what age like you transition from hating getting your hair cut to like It's a thing you do. Like, it's a part of your ritual. It's a part of your self-care ritual. Like, there's no way you could have described to me a haircut as self-care at like 6 years old, because that was damn near torture. Like, I didn't understand why you was doing this to me. Like, why would you do it? Why would you take me here to have this person, you know, put blades against my scalp? And like, you know, what kind of evil person are you? But that's how this kid obviously felt on this day, because he's just, he's not in the mood for it, and he's not having it. And I'm in like a, you know, a hood barbershop, so the barber's not having it either, and the, you know, parents aren't getting involved. I don't even know, throughout this entire story, I don't remember there being a parent. Like, I don't remember at any point a mom or a dad coming to like help this child or soothe this child. It was just a little kid in a chair, not having a good time, and a barber not having a good time trying to cut this kid's hair while he's, you know, going through it. So he's having this moment, and the whole time he's having this moment, like, my barber is like roasting him. Like, he's just going in on this 6 year old, like, just going in on him for not sitting still and getting his hair cut. And it's bad. Like, you know, it's, I don't know, it's as cringeworthy as it was that like this grown man is making fun of this little boy, and like unceasingly, like, he's just not stopping, and he's not, he could give two fucks about this little kid's feelings. Like, he's just going, as cringeworthy as it was, like, some of this shit was funny. So at some point, like, you know, you try not to, but you catch yourself laughing at these jokes that he's making about this little kid. And the little kid is just like, at this point, like, he's damn near hysterical. Like, he's, you know, the whole shop is paying attention now. Like, everybody's listening to this, and then every couple of jokes, everybody's laughing, and they're laughing at this little kid. And you know, like, he went from just like, I'm not having a good time, to like, I'm fucking being traumatized right now. Like, this is the worst moment of my life. And so he's bawling. Like, he's just bawling. He's crying. And that's just egging my guy on even more. Like, the more he cries, the more jokes he tells, the more he's like rubbing it. I don't know if this was one of those like rites of passage, like, I'm making you strong, I'm making you tough. Like, this was horrible. Like, this, I wish I could find that kid and just like find out what happened to him in life. Like, what, when you left that shop, how did the rest of your life go? Like, did that fuck you up forever? Because this, as I look back on it, this was bad. This was really, really bad. And it got worse. So the kid is just bawling. He's bawling. And my barber is just like, James is not letting it go. He's going in. And it's to the point where like the kid is like hyperventilating, and like he can't breathe. He's full on, just stop. Just, why do you keep, you know, that kind of stuff. I shouldn't be laughing. But you know, you've seen the kid cry like that, and it's fucking funny. But so he's full on bawling, and they just won't stop. Just keep going at him, keep going at him. And I guess at some point, like, I don't know if it was the amount of snot that he was, you know, sucking up, or just the hyperventilating, he couldn't breathe. But little kid threw up in the chair, like right next to me, just threw up all over himself, all over the little cape, whatever, robe, whatever. I don't know what you call it that they put on you, but y'all know. He throws up all over that. And at this point, it's like, all right, everybody's done. Like, the barber that was cutting his hair, you know, he's mad. You know, he's mad at my barber because, you know, he wouldn't stop. And like, now he's got this kid, you know, with throw up all over him, and he's got to deal with that. Like, the rest of the shop, you know, kind of came to their senses, like, oh, this was a little kid that we were laughing at. And, you know, and this really got to that little kid. So, oh, like, we kind of feel fucked up right now. But not James. Not James. James was 100% unbothered, didn't care, zero fucks about this little kid and his feelings and him throwing up in the chair. I don't know. He was on one. He was in a moment. So, like, the whole time that this is happening, for whatever reason, It's Love is playing in the background. And, you know, as much as this, I guess, like, a love song, I don't think I've ever sat down to, like, dissect the lyrics. It's a musical experience. And so, like, yeah, I mean, that pocket, like, that just, that does something to people from my area. So we, you know, we riled up, and he's still in it. He's still in it with the song. It's just like without skipping the beat, he just starts going in. You know, going in. He's just, do you want it on your black IP? Do you want spit up on your pickle beat? Do you want it? And he's just going, like, just making up a song about this kid throwing up all over himself. And it wasn't even funny. Like, is to him make him change the words to put spit up in it is very juvenile and very, you know, like, it wasn't funny. What was funny was just that this grown-ass man just didn't care at all about this little kid's feelings and was having what looked like the time of his life, like, making fun of him to a soundtrack. And that shit was crazy to me. So, yeah, that's the moment that's always connected in my mind whenever I hear that song. Like, whenever I... Like, anytime I hear that, like, that's... I'm right back in that barbershop. And, you know, it doesn't take anything away from the song for me. I just snicker a little bit, but it's crazy. But, yeah. I mean, end of the day, I think James went on to start doing construction. So I had to find a new barber. And, yeah, I just began my weird relationship with barbers and them not hanging around. But because I tipped and the other barbers in the shop knew that, there was like a little bit of like a war over, you know, who could claim me as a customer. Like I don't know if James said something to one of them, like, my people is now your people or what. But it was like a moment where dudes was like fighting over, you know, who I was going to be the regular with from that point on. So, and that's a good position to be in. It's a position of leverage. You want that kind of leverage in a barbershop. I learned that at 18. So, you know, always tip is the moral of the story. But anyway, let's move on with the episode. What am I drinking tonight? Tonight I'm doing the Citra Bomb, one of these sparkling hop teas from Hop Lark. You know, I talk about them all the time. I was definitely like in my East Coast DMV bag listening to the music, you know, today. And so I decided to fry me up some Old Bay chicken strips. And, you know, I think nothing goes better with like Old Bay seasoning than like a cold beer. And can't do that. But luckily for me, I have an alternative. You know, hop tea, their tagline is the best way to NA. And this is the Citra Bomb. I don't know if Citra has anything to do with citrus, but it sounded that way to me. And I was like, that's going to fit with the Old Bay. And it does. So that's what I'm doing this afternoon. Very refreshing. With the Citra Bomb, as always, you can get 15% off of your first order of Hop Lark's beverages if you go to whatistws.com/hops. That'll put the code in for you, and you'll get 15% off your first order if you wanted to check out the Citra Bomb 1 or any of their other delicious non-alcoholic beverages. But yeah, that's what I'm doing today. Anyway, let's move forward into the Sheffy Lee's report. I hope this is the right button.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, it is, and I am. But yeah, this was my week. I didn't have Elise this week, you know, but she's been heavy on my mind like the whole week. I guess your daughter should be on your mind at all times, but I don't know, a little more than usual. So I went to see that new Jordan Peele movie, Nope. And don't worry, this is not going to be like a think piece or my review of the movie. There's going to be plenty of those, so I'll spare you all of that. I thought it was a good movie. You should check it out. But it had to do a lot with like spectacle culture and just like the stuff that, you know, we see and we consume and like, I don't know how important it is to us or how important it is to the creators and just the whole relationship between that and like what content creators make and what people consume and maybe the effect it has on both sides. But I was thinking a lot this week because I saw there was a lady who, you know, who put a TikTok or something out, and it was basically about being careful about what you post of your children online. And so she went to she used this one lady's account, or I guess it was a child's account that the parent had made as an example. But basically, you know, the parents were posting pictures of this small child, little girl. I don't know. She looked like she might have been like, you know, 3 or 4 years old, like, you know, something like that. She wasn't posing for these pictures. I don't think she was even aware pictures were being taken of her. Like, you know, but she was just, they were taking pictures of her, like, eating hot dogs and stuff like that, and videos, and these stuff, these things were being posted. And then the lady was like, all right, what first caught, you know, her eye was the amount of times these videos were being downloaded. It was like, you know, it's a video of a little three-year-old girl eating a hot dog. Like, why is it being downloaded a million times? And then it was like, all right, let's look at the people who follow this account. And then you could see that, you know, these people were, a lot of these followers were adult men. And then you could start to see some of the comments, and then you could start to see some of the usernames that weren't even like hiding what the fuck they are. And then I think she took it a step further and she like Googled the little girl's name, just like threw it in Google. And the sites that came back and some of the posts that came back were, you know, extremely suggestive. Like, people were using this video, using these pictures, and using this content in a way for which I'm going to say it wasn't intended. I think one of the insinuations kind of like in the TikTok was that, you know, she knew who was following her daughter, and she knew, you know, like, I don't want to say that if you take a picture of your daughter eating a hot dog, you know what you're doing. But if you can see the people who's looking at it, you might know what you're doing. Or at least that was the insinuation. I'm going to say that no, that wasn't her intention, and that this stuff was just, you know, being perverted by perverted people. But yeah, it got me to thinking, because, you know, I post pictures of, you know, the things that Chef Elise and I do together, our tea parties, and, you know, just us hanging around the house, you know, our exotic fruit stuff. And I always have to, I think I've done episodes before where I've talked about like trying to check my motivations for that. Like, what is it? Why am I taking the pictures? One, because I'm here, I'm experiencing it, you know. Am I doing it for memories for me? Maybe. I do go back and look at, you know, that stuff every once in a while. And, you know, it's cool for me to see, like, over the last couple of years, all of the stuff that we've done and the memories that we've built together. But I want them to be memories that don't require a picture. But it's still good to have pictures. And then, you know, I post them. And I want to say, you know, in my heart of hearts, that the reason I post them is, you know, for family members and friends. I know one of my big motivations is, like last week when we had our real fancy tea party, I posted all of those pictures. And I was going to, you know, do a separate just post after that saying, you know, when the day comes, because the day will come, when Elise is on one and, you know, she's a teenager, and she's doing all that, you know, you don't care, and you know, you don't love me. Like, when she's talking about how her dad doesn't care about her, or how her dad doesn't love her because I won't let her stay out or some shit like that. Like, somebody remind her. Like, somebody be like, nah. And I've talked about on this show, like, a lot of what I do is in my mind so that if one day, if something were to happen to me, that if Elise ran into anybody that knew me, even if the only way you knew me was through listening to this show, if anybody that knew anything about me, that, you know, once they realized who she was and who I was, you know, that it wouldn't take more than 30 seconds before, you know, it's like, man, your daddy loved you. Like, I want that to be the thing that people remember about me the most, is how much I loved my little girl, so they can, you know, so she can see that even when I'm not here. And I want to believe that, you know, this stuff is that noble. I think sometimes I do just want, you know, to be seen as a good dad, that it's not so much, I want people to know, I want Elise to have this record of how much her dad loved her, publicly. I think some of it is just, I want to like dismiss, or, you know, the people who I, you know, the enemies in my head that I think I'm this piece of shit. Like, just show people I'm, you know, I actually love my daughter, and I take care of my daughter, and I think I'm a good dad. So I think some of that is in there too. I don't believe any of it is like trying to, because I work really hard to like make sure I'm not ever being exploitive. Like, you know, my daughter's big into YouTube and stuff, and there was a while that she really wanted, she was talking to me like she really wanted, you know, to make content. They're little kids and all, just have YouTube channels and stuff, and she watches the stuff, and you know, I would buy her like cameras and she would make little fake videos. And so there was this idea in my head that that was something that she was interested in and she wanted to do. And I really fought it because I didn't want to be exploitive of my little. I never wanted it to come across like, oh yeah, I'm going to set up a YouTube channel for my little girl because y'all, you know, pictures of Elise get way more attention than anything I ever post. So, all right, here's her whole channel and we can let that take off. I didn't want that. And it turns out she don't want to do it anyway, so we can just squash that idea. But, you know, I was really, like, you know, trying to check myself on that and figure out what was the right thing to do. Is it to, you know, participate in something that I think she enjoyed or to avoid it because I was afraid of how it might look? And I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. I'm trying to, you know, like, the world is just, it's just, it's crazy. And I complain a lot about, like, what's on social media and what I wake up to every day and what I got to see every day. Like, I feel like when we talking about, like, the kids and posting your kids, like, I don't know how to feel. Because I put a poll up there and it was pretty, I think most people were on the never post anything about, never post anything of your kids online. And I kind of think that's the, that's just the, of the people that were going to respond, the ones who feel that way are the folks that were going to say something. People who didn't care one way or another about it were just not going to answer the poll. But they, you know, the majority of the responses were, you know, don't never post anything. And there were some others that would be careful, and there were some others that were, you know, do what you want to do. And there's a part of me that feels like people just going to pervert with everything. They're gonna pervert whatever you put out there, no matter what you do. They're gonna find a way to twist it and make it something fucked up. You know what I'm saying? You got the, it's a whole thing now of like catching dudes eating a hot dog with that nigga gay. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? It don't matter. And I know that's adults making fun of adults, so it's different. But it don't matter what you do. Somebody gonna find a way to like turn it into something that ain't supposed to be. I just try to make sure my motivations are pure. Like, the reason I'm doing what I'm doing is for the right reasons. And if somebody wants to take that and, like, make it something it wasn't supposed to be, it was never intended to be, then that's something they got to answer for. But, yeah, I don't know. I just, man, like, just the whole culture of, like, this, everybody's a content creator. Everybody's posting. Everybody's putting pictures of their holidays and their families and their cookouts and their... You cook a good meal, you got to take a picture of it. You got, you know, you buy a new car, you got to take a picture of it. Like, you know, I think I heard somebody once say, if it's not on Instagram, it didn't happen kind of situation. And I hate it. I hate it. And I feel like I participate in it. You know, I'm always upset about, like, just, you know, jumping on Twitter in the morning and just, it's always something to be upset about, be afraid of. You know, political beefs. It's just nonstop, like, something to be mad at or something to be worried about or some negative emotion that you should have. It's very little just, like, feel-good shit out there. And I'll complain about it. But the thing is that all I have to do is stop looking at it. Like, I don't have to go on Twitter. I tried to do a little experiment this week to see, like, what would happen. Because most of the time my excuse is, I'm forced to be on social media because in order to promote the podcast and stuff like that, I have to be out here. I got to be talking to y'all. And so I tried to do a little experiment this weekend, like, see what would happen if I didn't promote as heavily on social media as I usually do, if I wasn't, you know, as active and, you know, trying to participate as much as I do. And I definitely saw a difference. I definitely saw a significant drop. It could have just been the content, you know. Much larger sample size is needed before I can make a judgment on that. But really, you know, at the end of the day, if it's affecting me in the way I feel like it's affecting me, like, I just have, all I have to do is stop looking at it. All I have to do is, like, not pay attention. I don't have to look. But it's such a thing. Like, I wonder how y'all feel about this. Cause I, like, we see crazier and crazier stuff every day. We see horrific things every day. Like, you know, when you stop and think that, like, we all watched George Floyd die We watched a video of a man die. Like, and many of us watched it multiple times. And that's crazy. Like, that's sick. But then at the same time, if that video didn't exist, we probably wouldn't have got justice. It's like, I don't know. This spectacle culture is needed, or it's helpful. There's always some good and bad to everything. But it just is like a race to see what's the craziest thing you can capture. Like, this stuff that's normal to see nowadays is just insane. You know, I think I posted on Twitter the other day. I was going, like, I had to scrub my timeline because get rid of some folks. It's getting mad sticky on my timeline. Like, it's just a lot of fluids and moisture and stuff on my time. There's more than I'm comfortable with. And I just, like, when did this get just widespread cool? Like, this used to be underground. It's mainstream. What the fuck is going on? Like, and what's going to, if this is what's mainstream today, like, what is my daughter going to see when she's a teenager? And I don't know how to feel about it. I don't know. I'm a Neanderthal. I don't know. But it's just, like, I don't have to complain about it. I just have to stop looking at it. And if I stop looking at it, if enough of us stop looking at it, it would go away, you know. Like, I'm trying to be on this real positive kick. And it's not a virtuous thing. Like, this has been a real, like, recent sharp turn for me. I'm not going to get involved in the controversies. And I'm not going to have the political debates. And I'm not going to do all this stuff. I'm not going to shine light on things I don't want to see more of, you know? So I've been trying to do that with the show. And then I look at my numbers, because I'm a numbers dude. And, like, the episode I did about Ass Religion is, like, my biggest episode this year. So the numbers say, if I'm doing this podcast to be successful, I need to find more Ass Religions to talk about. That's what the people want to hear. People don't give, you know, I'm not saying y'all don't care about, you know, stories about my daughter or whatever else it is I talk about on here, the substance abuse stuff, or just, you know, trying to spread love or whatever else I do. I try to tell a couple jokes, be a little funny, be a little entertaining. But it's like, man, Ass Religion sells. Yeah. And then I feel a certain kind of way, because I'm sure there's somebody out there who had no idea there was, you know, such a religion until I mentioned it. And now they know. And maybe they don't give a fuck that I think is hilariously stupid. It was like, I done found my calling. And that's all my fault. I said, that's where we at today. And I don't know. So I still haven't figured out where I am on, like, sharing my relationship with Chef Elise on social media. I hate that I feel like I gotta not do something because of some sick motherfuckers out there like that. Y'all gonna take that away from me, my ability to be a proud dad and to, like, share, you know, things that I'm proud of that I do with my daughter with the world because you're sick. And I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. So y'all can let me know in the comments. You know, send me an email, flan@whatistws.com. I got some good emails from the monogamy episode, so I appreciate y'all for that. Yeah, hit me up. You know, I'm on Twitter. I'm everywhere you want to be. What is TWS? J.Flan. Come check me out. As always, look for my boy Zaya Fitness if you're looking to get your health and nutrition stuff. I was able to have lunch with him just this weekend, and he's prepping for his bodybuilding competition. So, you know what I'm saying? He doing his thing. I think he's no longer a vegan. So, I've done episodes we've talked about how, like, we try to fuck up his diet because we always inviting him to, like, steakhouses and shit. And we know he's vegan. But I think he let the veganism go for now. We went to, like, a seafood place. He had frog legs. So I think that's about as far away from vegan as you can get. But he's still super fit, super nutritious. My homie, good dude. So livealphafitness.com, livealphafitness.com. Hit him up. He can get you where you need to be. Hit up the whatistws.com merch store. I got the Don't Thank Me, Thank God shirts. I got the Chef Elise Hello, Hello, Loads Jello shirts. I got all kinds of shirts, and they all dope. I wear one every day. I'm wearing one right now. Get like me. Whatever. But yeah, coupon code algorithm will get you 20% off your entire order. So hit up the whatistws.com merch store. And with that being said, thanks for hanging out with me. I hope y'all understand that these episodes are not fully formed opinions. I write like a quick outline of what I want to hit, and then the majority of what you hear is me thinking through it in the moment. I just want to have those moments with you, and maybe you can think it through with me, and you can hit me back and let me know what you think. But these aren't fully formed opinions. Like, I might say some shit that don't make sense, or that, you know, you don't agree with, and I'm 100% open to hearing an alternative point of view on it. I would love to have that conversation with you. So hit me up. But until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light, and know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.